see, you were in about a year ago, I guess, with the...
Yeah, with Warday, that's right.
And I see how you've occupied yourself since that time.
Yeah, a little bit. I have another book coming out, an adult book coming out this spring.
That is not the sequel to Warday, is it?
No, I have not been able to find anyone who wanted to publish the sequel to Warday. Sadly enough. I don't know why that is. I've written it. I spent a lot of time in the Soviet Union, as a matter of fact, working on it. My problem with it is that the mood of the country at the moment doesn't seem to... publishers feel that a book that is so intimately involved with the Soviet experience is just not going to be appreciated by the mass audience, and they won't publish it. That's what it really amounts to. But, you know, moods will change, times will change, it'll eventually get published.
I'm sure it will. That's very surprising, especially in view of the success of Warday. We talked about it the last time.
You'd think so, yeah, because it's done very well, Warday.
Well, it called out for a sequel. I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to find out from you the last time you were here. Is
the Russian side. Well, it's all written. It's ready to go.
That must be a very frustrating experience to have that happen, especially when you know you've had something that has sparked the imaginations.
I've been a novelist too long to be frustrated by things like that. I know it will eventually see the light of day because it's a wonderful and important book. The real problem is that getting, and I can find a publisher for it, but getting someone to put the kind of commitment behind it that I feel it needs has been the difficulty. Someone will buy it and put it out there with no trouble at all, but these days to get a thing published so that it actually gets into most bookstores and people know it's out there takes a lot more than that. Warday Russia probably would be even more interesting to people than Warday because people are intensely interested in Russia. That's the truth. But the publishers don't see that. They don't see that at all. And the three or four I've given it to have all come back with, well, our problem is that when we think of a sequel, we cut the numbers of the original book in half. And Warday was a bestseller, but it was a middle level bestseller. It wasn't it never got to number one on the list, which means that if they cut the numbers in half, it has only a chance of getting on the bestseller list. It's not certain, and because of that, then they say, well, we don't want to do it. And I come back with, well, what about the fact that Russia is itself so intrinsically interesting? And I think that half the letters I got on the Warday book, or more than half, asked for the Russian side of the story. And it's also a fascinating story.
Well, that's only a theory on their part that it would only attract
half.
Besides that, the way they present it would have a lot to do with it. They don't have to say, here's the second half of the book, as if it's a television miniseries. You know, sometimes I don't want to watch television miniseries because if I can't watch them all, I don't want to watch any of them.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Because you need the other. But that doesn't necessarily have to be that way, especially with regard to books. But anyway, I wish you the best on that, and I hope that I know that it will see the light of day.
Yeah. No, it will. I have a book coming out in the spring called Nature's End, which is on my other big issue, which is the environment. And it's going to be an interesting thing to publish. I don't know what people will think of it, but it's... It takes place 50 years in the future and is as scientifically accurate a rendering of our world at that time as I think is available, given all of the imponderables and unknowns that we're facing.
Now, don't tell me you're losing interest in the horror genre.
Yeah.
Maybe you're maturing. Not that any of the things you've written in the past are immature, but
changed. You're right. I think maturing is the right word. And what happened to me was in the 60s, I was a very politically committed young fellow, and I lived in Europe for a year in 68, and in France, I met four or five of the people who were very close to Pol Pot, who was a sort of a culture hero at the Sorbonne, where he had been educated, and I recognized a murderous intent in those men. Terrifying. I never saw such people. I would say that they were people who had ceased at some point to be human. And the young, very, very ideologically committed French intellectuals around them had no idea what they were. I guess I approached it from a more of an artist's viewpoint than anything. And then a few years later, when the U.S. began bombing in Cambodia, and I realized the Khmer Rouge is going to win now because the U.S. has so undercut Sihanouk and destroyed his base of power and the people's faith in him, and that they're going to murder their whole country. And they did. And I just lost, I became a political vegetable. And I was that from 1973 until 1982. And I suddenly came back to life again. Began to write the kind of books I always would have written if that hadn't happened.
Well, I certainly don't think you have to apologize.
Oh, I'm not apologizing. I think the Wolf and the Hunger are... I'll tell you, I had more darn fun early last summer when I was looking for a book to read. And I wanted a good, fun, light read. And I thought to myself, my God, I've got all these copies of Wolfen sitting around. I wrote it, but it's been so long, I wonder what will happen if I try to read it. Will I remember it so well it won't be worth reading? And I didn't. And I had a lot of fun with it. It was a good book. It was a good read. You know, I mean, as a reader, now that I'm so distant from it, it's been so many years since I wrote it. And the last time I read that book was Proofing the Galleys.
Well, we certainly want to talk about Wolf of Shadows because this is a book that came out of your experience in writing War Day.
Very definitely.
And as I read Wolf of Shadows, I was struck by the fact that it is being billed as a children's book or young adult book. But I didn't have the feeling that it was necessarily aimed at young people at all, because I read it as an adult, and I felt it was a gripping story that carried me all the way through. Why did you, in effect, limit the audience for Wolf of Shadows?
Well, I didn't. This is a publishing decision. I don't even believe in these segmented audiences. I mean, I think that there are many books for even younger children that anyone can enjoy. I'm perfectly capable of enjoying a Grimm's fairy tale, even now. I didn't write this particularly for teenagers. It, in a limiting way. But the reason I wrote it has got so much to do with them, that the book belongs to them, in that after War Day, I got phone calls, and my number in the phone book's unlisted, I mean, is listed, and anyone can call me, and they do. I got phone calls, most of them were from young people. I got letters from young people, some of them deeply moving. I noticed on radio call-in shows that took place in the early evening or on weekends, many of the callers were teenagers. And I realized that there is a tremendous need out there for sustaining spiritually strong material that deals directly and frankly with these nuclear with the threat of nuclear war. And that's why I wrote Wolf of Shadows. And the book belongs to kids. It really does, much more than to adults, because it was their need that made me write it. I searched the literature and found that nobody has written a book for teenagers about this subject. There's one book has come out that deals with it indirectly, Dr. Seuss's wonderful Butter Battle book, but that's for younger children. So this is their book. This is for teenagers.
Well, parents and teenagers who read Wolf of Shadows should be forewarned that, like the Grimm's fairy tales, it is not a fluff book.
No way. No.
And there is death and violence, description of corpses, description of the devastation of the land. It is, in effect, depicting a nightmare world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's because in the letters I received and the calls I got, I never found anyone who had any illusions about the dangers of nuclear war. The kids already know these things. I mean, you're not going to help them deal with this fear by pretending it's not there, by ignoring the realities. So the book goes straight to the realities, but the important thing about the book is it's not like some of these things that have come out before, which are all fear and no strength. It comes from the spirit of strength and hope that they communicated to me. And I feel that I hope that that's in the book. I tried hard to get that into the book, that the strength that the people and the wolves in the book display in the face of this nuclear winter, deepening nuclear winter, that same strength is in us now, and we can use it. And kids can use it to seek creative new ways of dealing with the whole problem of the arms race when it's time for their generation to take over.
Well, it should be noted that the hero of the book is a wolf called Wolf of Shadows, who leads a pack of wolves and two human beings, a mother and daughter, survivors of the nuclear holocaust, with him, and they become part of his pack. I guess this is an indication that you still have not lost your preoccupation with wolves.
No, I haven't. In a sense, man's long, age-old competition with the wolf is a symbol of our competition with the earth we live on. And I think that if we could learn to live with the wolves in a comfortable and friendly way, we might be able to learn to live with the whole planet instead of just stepping all over it the way we're doing now. You know, Wolf of Shadows is part of a very definite continuing process of involvement in my work with wolves. There was The Wolf in First, Wolf of Shadows, and there's going to be another novel about a wolf for adults called The Wild coming out next year. And this is I think this might be the last thing I'm going to do about wolves, because this is the wolf novel.
Well, you grew up in around near San Antonio, isn't there?
Yeah.
Were there wolves around San Antonio?
No wolves. No, none at all. They had long since disappeared from that area. But interestingly enough, in northern Mexico, there were wolves. And I glimpsed them a couple of times. And I also have seen, in Texas, a red wolf in the piney woods in the big thicket in East Texas. And it probably was one of the last red wolves, because they may very well be extinct now.
Of course, in Wolf of Shadows, you give the wolf hero certain characteristics that may or may not be consistent with wolves, I don't know, but here is a wolf that is sympathetic to human beings, and is that really true? I mean, wolves have never really been domesticated, have they?
They can't be. I've been around wolves, and wolves have very much got a mind of their own, more than cats do, much more. They can't be domesticated, but they can be pleasant. They might not be, though. They're wild animals. They're fundamentally wild animals. And I don't think that species will ever be domesticated. People who raise wolves from the wild have to be professional wolf people, or they can't do it successfully. The characteristics of Wolf of Shadows that he displays that create this bond between him and the two women, the young woman and her mother in the book, are characteristics of need. He needs them because they can open cans, and he realizes that food will come out of cans. It's a very practical bond. They need him because he's warm and because he knows how to navigate in this trackless winter wasteland. So they form a relationship together. The truth is, we all creatures on this planet need each other in that same way now. We're just more insulated from it. But I think that kind of relationship could definitely be formed in the real world between wolves and men.
Well, Whitley Strieber, I can't let you go without asking you how your partner, James Konecka, is doing, and if you're ever going to resume your collaboration with him.
Well, Jim and I have been friends for so long. I'm glad you asked that question. Yes, we're still collaborating. We have a book coming out this spring called Nature's End, which takes place 50 years from now and is a story about what our environment will be like if we don't have a nuclear war and we do continue to live as we've been living off of the fat of the land.
Whitley Strieber, thank you. Wolf of Shadows was a very dramatic story for both adults and young people, and thank you very much for coming in and chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.